Imagine you come across a patient who's previously had a stroke and who tells you that they now eat food off only one side of the plate or read text off just one side of the page. They claim they are unable to see things on the other side. What would you say if you were asked why this is happening, especially if you'd checked their visual field and found it to be normal? Well, this is, of course, visual neglect, and can happen after a stroke or other trauma to the brain. In some patients, symptoms disappear. In others, though, the condition proves severely disabling or even dangerous when crossing the road, for example. New research suggests that because of the way the brain works, music might make all the difference and improve matters. Professor Glyn Humphreys, a psychologist at the University of Birmingham, has been researching visual neglect and the effect that music may have on it. Talking to Olivia Hunt about the problem, Glyn explained what visual neglect is and what causes it.
Visual neglect is where, after somebody's had a brain lesion, they seem unaware of one side of space. Often it's after they've had lesions to the right hemisphere, and they then seem unaware of the left side of things. So you can hear anecdotes about patients missing food on the left side of the plate, or not reading a passage because they miss the left-hand side of it.
And could you tell me what causes visual neglect?
So visual neglect occurs after a brain lesion. The most common cause is stroke. So after a right hemisphere stroke, about 35 to 40% of patients will have some degree of neglect. But you can also find neglect after, for instance, a head injury or a tumour.
In general, who would be affected by visual neglect, and are there any figures on incidence?
The most general cases are after a stroke, as I was saying. And probably that's because it affects quite often quite a large part of the brain. There are around 150,000 strokes in the UK in the year, and about one third of those might have some degree of neglect. So it's of the order of 40 to 50,000 people a year. So it's really quite prevalent.
And how is visual neglect diagnosed, and who normally diagnoses it?
Most often it would be picked up in the hospital from a neurologist. So if a neurologist clinically tests the visual fields of the patients, then they may pick up that the patient has some problem on the side opposite to where they have the lesion. But sometimes that might be missed. And so a patient might then be picked up, for instance, by occupational therapy in the hospital, where they notice that the patient's not doing very well at scanning around space and they keep missing things, for instance, on their left.
And does it ever tend to get picked up in secondary care through GPs, optometrists?
It can be picked up, obviously, because sometimes it's quite subtle to pick up the problems the patient's having, and an optometrist might pick it up that the patient's, for instance, doesn't seem to be seeing very well over on the left-hand side. It is then quite difficult to separate from a visual field defect from neglect. So sometimes neglect will appear as if it's a visual field defect. But where tests have been done measuring perimetry, for instance, and people take away the fixation cross, then patients with neglect actually can improve quite considerably because they don't get so stuck on the fixation cross. And then they can spread their attention more generally. And then you'll see that it's not a visual field defect, it is actually a neglect problem.
And is there much awareness of this condition, or is this something which needs more publicity and more awareness?
I definitely think it needs more awareness. As I said, it affects really quite a large proportion of the stroke population in particular. But while most people think about strokes creating a motor problem, so a patient may have a hemiplegia or some degree of paralysis, or people think that there's a language problem, neglect is as common after a right hemisphere stroke as a language problem is after a left, but it doesn't present itself so clearly. So I do think that clinicians, people dealing generally with patients after brain lesions, need to be aware that this could be one of the kind of problems they have.
Is there different degrees of visual neglect?
By and large, that will vary with the magnitude of the stroke. So if the stroke's affected a large area of the brain, then the magnitude of neglect will tend to be worse than if it's only a small stroke.
And your research on the positive effects of pleasant music on visual neglect were very interesting. Could you tell us a little bit about your involvement in this research and the outcomes that were achieved?
This was research that started off by patients who were coming into our labs to just investigate their neglect and to diagnose it in more detail. And what we noticed was that actually some of the patients showed less neglect when we had music on in the background. So that just started us off investigating it a bit more thoroughly. And so we showed that the degree of neglect patients showed decreased when they were listening and engaged in pleasant music. We then went on to carry out MR scanning of the patients and to look at brain activity while they were seeing visual stimuli and either hearing pleasant or unpleasant music. And what we showed was that the visual areas of the brain around where the lesion had occurred became more active in the pleasant music conditions. And actually they connected more strongly with parts of the frontal lobe, which are concerned with pleasant responding. So what it looks like is that the brain becomes more responsive when either people are in a relaxed state or they're listening to pleasant music, and connectivity between different parts of the brain increases.
And are there any other additional methods which help minimise the effects of this problem?
Well, quite a lot of other measures have been tried. In the clinic, the most typical one is to tell patients and to try and get them to learn to pay attention to their bad side. The trouble with that is that that's fine when the patient's aware, but when things happen very automatically, for instance, a car approaches you from the left-hand side or from the right, then you need to respond automatically and the brain needs to respond automatically. And so patients can still have problems with that, even if they've been instructed, pay attention to the left. Something happens on the right and then they don't pay attention to it. So having something like music or some other intervention that actually works even without the patient adopting a strategy or needing to be aware of it, I think is going to give us a better solution in the long term.
And do you see optometrists having a role in advising about this?
I think it would be very nice if we could develop means of testing visual fields for stroke patients in particular, but patients who have had a brain injury, that was able to systematically separate a visual field defect from the neglect. And so I think if optometrists were more aware of the problems that those patients can have, it will help with diagnosis and also help with referral onto other services like OT, for instance, or to psychology services that could help rehab.
Is there anything in practice that might be obvious to an optometrist when a patient comes in who is suffering from visual neglect?
I think there are some things that could be done using standard testing. So even just looking at an eye chart and getting a patient to try and read along. A patient with neglect would often start too far over to one side, typically over to the right-hand side, and then they'll keep drifting back there all the time. So that's something that you might note, the way they're trying to identify the letters and they're not starting properly over on the left-hand side, that would give you some cause for suspicion to then look at in a bit more detail. I think one other possibility would be to develop further tests where if you show something over in the good field of the patient, as well as getting them to identify something, even that they're fixating, the patient with neglect will often go over to the good field. And if there's just a field defect, that won't happen. So looking at that kind of being captured by something in the good field, I think would also be a telltale sign for neglect. So I think if we could think how to develop those and put those into more clinical practice, that kind of test, it would be very useful.
And if a standard visual field test was done, would visual neglect appear as any different as a visual field loss?
No, very often it would tend to appear as a visual field loss. And so it's really a case of trying to separate out those two kinds of problems.
And where can people go to source information about your research, which we've talked about?
They can come onto our website and we can give you details of the website as one place to go. And we've got some newsletters and things like that that are available for the general public to say about the work that's going on. Otherwise, there are books that have been published where they've got some details about what neglect is and so forth.
Glyn and Olivia, many thanks. And the website that Glyn mentioned can be found at www.glyn.com. bucs.bham.ac.uk. And this link can, as usual, be found on the OQ web pages and on the inlay. Don't forget that we're always keen to hear from you with new topics and new ideas for interviews. Please don't hesitate to contact us. Also, if you'd like to become an interviewer on the programme, get in touch via Jeff Robeson. Email him via jeff@docket.info or Elena Crook on Elena@docket.info.